Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
All right, so today let's take a deep dive into something pretty wild.
Okay.
Imagine, if you will, a tech company drowning in a 106-day testing backlog.
Oh, wow.
Customers are going crazy. A tester just quit, and the remaining team is about ready to just melt down from stress.
If I can imagine.
What would you do?
Right.
We're going to go deep on this case study by Niels Molotto.
Okay.
He's a project performance expert, and he helped this company climb out of what seemed like a totally hopeless situation.
Yeah. It's tempting to just want to, like, scream for more time or more people.
Yeah.
But this company did something way smarter.
Interesting.
They used something called evolutionary planning.
Okay.
Which is basically a way to constantly adapt and improve using the Deming cycle.
Okay.
You know, plan, do, check, act.
Yeah. So let's unpack this Deming cycle thing for a sec.
Yeah.
I get the plan, do part.
Yeah.
But how does check, act fit into all this?
So it's all about learning from what you do.
Okay.
Check means you look at the results of your plan.
Gotcha.
You know, did it work?
Right.
Did it cause new problems?
Yeah.
Then act means that you adjust based on what you learned.
Yeah.
And then just start the cycle all over again.
Got it.
So it's like a constant evolution.
Ah, I see.
That's a name.
So they're not just like reacting to this crisis.
Right.
They're actually using it as a chance to kind of rethink the whole process.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And one of the craziest things that they did.
What's that?
Was bring in the developers to help with testing.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep.
I always thought testing was supposed to be kept separate.
Mm.
You know, like a final check before something goes live?
Well, that's kind of like the old way of thinking about it.
Okay.
Evolutionary planning says that your main customer for testing is actually your development team.
Interesting.
So by getting them involved early on, you're catching bugs way before they become major headaches.
Right. So it's like preventing fires.
Yeah.
Instead of just putting them out.
Exactly.
I can see how that could actually speed things up in the long run.
Totally. Think of it this way.
Yeah.
If a developer has to wait weeks to hear about a bug, they've probably moved on to, like, other tasks by then.
Yeah.
So fixing that bug becomes a huge interruption.
Right.
But if they get feedback fast, it's still fresh in their minds.
Yeah.
And they can fix it right away.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But let's be real here.
Okay.
Staring at a 106-day backlog can be totally paralyzing.
Oh, yeah.
So how did they even begin to tackle something like that?
Well, they used a tool that you probably have on your computer right now.
What's that?
A spreadsheet.
No way.
Yeah, in table one of the case study.
Okay.
You can see how they broke down that huge backlog into smaller pieces.
Okay.
And figured out which customers were waiting on which parts.
So instead of one giant mountain,
right,
it's like a bunch of smaller hills.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes it seem way less intimidating, right?
It does. And they didn't just like randomly pick tasks either.
Oh.
They focused on delivering value quickly.
Okay.
So for example, package 8 was this huge project for a really important customer. So they broke that down.
Okay.
And started delivering pieces in just 2 weeks.
Wow. I bet that customer was pretty happy.
Oh, yeah. They were thrilled.
That's awesome. But how did they keep track of everything and make sure it all stayed on schedule?
Well, that's where timeline comes in.
All right.
It's explained in table 2.
Gotcha.
It's basically a way to predict what will get done when.
Okay.
Based on real data,
mm-hmm.
not just wishful thinking.
Right.
And it also helps you communicate clearly with clients, which is super important when you're trying to rebuild trust.
Totally. So timeline is like a roadmap.
Exactly.
That keeps everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
I love it. But let's talk results for a second.
Okay.
Did this crazy plan actually work?
Oh, it worked beautifully.
Really?
They cleared that whole backlog in just 9 weeks.
Wow.
Customer trust was restored.
That's great.
And get this, a year later, sales had jumped by 70%.
No way. That's incredible.
It's proof that even when things seem impossible, a change in thinking can lead to some pretty amazing results.
9 weeks. That's amazing.
Right.
So this isn't just a cool story about one company.
Right.
There's a real lesson here for everyone.
Absolutely. Molotto says that these principles can be used on any project.
Really?
Big or small.
Huh.
It's about understanding that testing isn't the enemy of speed.
Okay.
It's actually the key to delivering value faster and better.
Yeah. I'm starting to see that.
Good.
But before we go too deep into like applying all this stuff, I think we need to unpack some of these principles a bit more.
Sure.
So what are like the key elements of evolutionary project management?
Well, first off, you need like a crystal clear business case.
Okay.
You know, why are you even doing this project?
Right.
What's the ultimate goal?
Yeah.
Then you got to define your requirements. You know, what are the specific outcomes that you need to actually reach that goal?
Right.
And how will you measure success?
Gotcha. So instead of like these vague goals, like improve performance, you need something concrete, something you can measure.
Right. Okay. You need numbers. Things like increase customer satisfaction by 15%.
Okay.
Or reduce production errors by 20%.
Got it.
This is how you actually know if you're making progress.
That makes sense.
Good.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got our business case and our measurable goals. What's next?
Then comes the design and development phase.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You don't just build something and hope for the best.
Right.
Evolutionary project management is all about early review and inspection.
So instead of waiting till the very end to find out that something's not working.
Exactly.
You're getting feedback throughout the entire process.
Right. It's like having a GPS for your project.
Oh, I like that.
You can make adjustments as you go.
Yeah.
Instead of ending up way off course.
That's a great analogy, but how do you manage like the day-to-day work and still keep the big picture in mind?
Well, Malato recommends something called the weekly task cycle.
Okay.
It's all about short-term planning.
Okay.
Prioritizing your tasks.
Yeah.
And making realistic commitments.
Gotcha.
About what you can actually achieve in a week.
So it's kind of like breaking down those big goals into smaller pieces that you can actually manage.
And then to make sure that you're delivering value to the customer, there's the biweekly delivery cycle.
Okay.
So you're not just building something in isolation. You're showing your stakeholders tangible results regularly.
Right.
And getting their feedback.
So it's like a constant feedback loop.
Yeah.
Making sure they're on track.
Exactly.
And making adjustments if you need to.
And underlying all of this is that timeline technique we talked about earlier.
Right.
It gives you that ability to predict what will get done when.
Okay.
And make smart decisions about how to use your time and resources.
So it's not about just working harder. It's about working smarter.
Right.
And more strategically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, let's go back to that testing backlog for a minute.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about like a paradigm shift?
Yeah.
And how we think about testing?
Yeah. The idea that the customer of testing is actually the development team.
Right. Testing isn't there to punish developers.
Right.
It's there to help them create a better product.
So instead of being the quality police,
testers
are more like partners in the development process.
Right.
Catching problems early on, preventing bigger issues later.
And by giving that quick feedback throughout development, they help make the whole process smoother and more efficient.
Now, you mentioned before that Malato has worked on lots of projects in different industries. Do you think these principles would work for something like a marketing campaign or a product launch?
That's a great question. And it seems like they're pretty universal. You know, having a clear goal, breaking things down, getting feedback along the way. It makes sense that those would be helpful anywhere.
For sure.
You're totally right. Think about the core elements.
Okay.
A clear business case,
right?
Well-defined requirements,
yep.
A continuous feedback loop, and a focus on delivering value.
Yeah.
These are principles for success, no matter what field you're in.
You could use these to plan a wedding.
Exactly.
Or write a book.
Yeah.
So it's not just about software. It's about developing a more effective way to think and work.
Exactly. It's about having a mindset of continuous improvement, being open to feedback, and focusing on giving your stakeholders value.
This is awesome. But I bet some people listening are thinking, okay, this sounds great, but what if I'm already drowning in work?
Right.
Where do I even start?
That's a normal feeling. But remember, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Everyone feels that way sometimes.
Okay.
The first step is just to take a breath and remember what we've talked about.
Okay, so break it down into smaller tasks.
Right.
Figuring who your main customer is.
Yeah.
What value you're trying to give them.
Exactly.
And then get that regular feedback going.
To make sure you're on the right track.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to get other people involved.
Right.
Your team, your stakeholders, even your customers.
Yeah. The more perspectives you can get, the better equipped you'll be
for sure
to tackle that backlog and reach your goals.
So even though we're talking about software testing here, There are some really powerful lessons that apply to everyone.
That's
it's
right.
not about working harder, it's about working smarter.
Exactly. And together.
Right.
It's about recognizing that we all have limited time and resources.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to use them wisely.
For sure.
By being open to improvement, welcoming feedback, and focusing on delivering value to our stakeholders, we can achieve amazing things, even when things seem impossible.
Yeah, this case study proves that.
It does.
I love that. And speaking of the case study, you mentioned that Malato talks a lot about understanding human behavior and project management.
Oh, yeah.
That seems pretty important.
It's crucial. He points out that projects are all about people.
Okay.
And their motivations, their biases, their communication styles can really make or break a project.
Yeah.
You can have the best plans in the world.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But if your team isn't working well together,
right,
it's all going to fall apart.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about the technical stuff.
Right.
It's about understanding the human side of things.
Totally.
So what are some ways to do that well?
Well, one of the most important is to have really open and honest communication.
Okay.
Create an environment where people feel comfortable speaking up,
right,
sharing their ideas,
yeah,
and raising concerns.
So no more avoiding problems.
Exactly. Everyone needs to feel safe to say what they think.
And it's also important to really listen to your team.
Right.
Understand their point of view.
Yeah.
And value what they bring to the table.
It sounds like building trust is a big part of this.
It is. It's essential.
When your team trusts each other,
yeah,
they're more likely to work together well, support each other,
right,
and work towards the same goal.
Makes sense. But what about those times when conflicts come up?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Well, first off, conflict is normal in any team.
Really?
It's not something to be scared of or avoid. Actually, if you handle it right, conflict can lead to better solutions.
Oh, interesting.
And a stronger team.
So how do you manage conflict well?
Right. Well, one key is to focus on the problem.
Okay.
Not the person.
Gotcha.
Encourage people to express themselves constructively without attacking or blaming anyone.
So separate the issue from the individual.
Exactly. And it's also important to create space for listening.
Okay.
Make sure everyone gets a chance to talk without being interrupted.
And encourage them to try and see things from each other's perspectives.
That sounds like it takes a lot of patience.
It does.
And empathy.
Yeah, but it's worth it.
How so?
When you can handle conflict well.
Yeah.
You build stronger relationships.
Okay.
Communication improves.
Mm-hmm.
And you create a more positive work environment.
This all ties back to that zero defects as an attitude thing that Malato talks about.
Exactly. It's not just about getting rid of defects in the product.
Right.
It's about always trying to improve.
Okay.
Where everyone is committed to preventing problems, resolving conflicts well, and working together to get the best possible results.
I'm seeing how this all fits together now. It's not just about tools and techniques.
Right.
It's about building a culture of excellence.
Right.
Where everyone feels valued, respected, and empowered.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
It's about recognizing that projects are driven by people.
Okay.
And by creating a positive and supportive environment.
Yeah.
You can help them reach their full potential.
Yeah.
And achieve amazing results.
This is great stuff. But before we get too philosophical here,
I
want to bring it back down to earth for a second.
Sure.
We've talked about a lot of big concepts, but what are some things that our listeners can actually do to use these ideas in their own work?
That's a great question. One of the simplest things you can do is start using the Deming cycle in your work.
Okay.
Plan your work, do it thorn shave.
Yeah.
Check the results, and then act on what you learned.
So it's a constant loop of improvement.
Exactly. It's not about getting it perfect the first time.
Yeah.
It's about learning and adapting as you go.
And another important thing is to think about your customer.
Right.
Whoever that might be.
Exactly.
What value are you giving them?
Yeah.
How can you make that value even better?
Right. Whether it's a client, a boss, or even yourself.
Yeah.
If it's a personal project.
Uh-huh.
Focusing on delivering value is key.
And don't forget those feedback loops.
Right.
Regularly checking in with your stakeholders.
Yeah.
Getting their input. And making changes as needed.
So it's like a constant dance between planning, doing, and refining.
This has been so insightful. I feel like I've learned so much.
Good.
Not just about project management, but about teamwork and creating a culture of excellence.
I'm glad to hear that it's something I'm really passionate about.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners got something out of it, too.
You know, I think one of the biggest things I'm taking away from all this is that we tend to think of testing as this thing that slows us down.
Right.
But this case study actually shows how it can make us faster and more efficient.
Yeah, that's so important.
When we stop seeing testing as a roadblock and start seeing it as a partner to development,
right,
it opens up so many possibilities.
Yeah, it really does.
It's like that saying, slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
I like that.
By taking the time to get things right,
yeah,
to get feedback early and often, we can actually move faster in the long run.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to what Malato was saying about the human element.
Right.
He's not just talking about processes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talking about creating a culture where people feel good about their work, where they feel valued and respected and empowered.
That reminds me, you mentioned earlier that Malato has all those resources on his website, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like booklets, articles, templates. It seems like he's really serious about sharing all this knowledge.
Yeah, he really is.
And helping people succeed.
He truly believes that anyone can benefit from this stuff.
That's awesome.
And he's put together a ton of resources to help people actually use it.
We'll definitely link to those in the show notes.
Right.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay,
I want to leave our listeners with a challenge.
I like it.
We talked about how this company dealt with this massive backlog and got amazing results.
Yeah.
What if you tried applying some of these principles to your own work or project?
I love it.
Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or stuck or just looking for ways to improve, there's something in here for everyone.
Absolutely.
Think about those core principles, you know,
sure,
setting clear goals,
yeah,
breaking things down into smaller steps, getting feedback, and embracing that idea of continuous improvement.
Right. And don't forget about the people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Build a positive environment where communication is open.
Yeah.
Conflicts are handled well.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone feels valued and respected.
I think that's the perfect way to end this.
I agree.
It's not about working harder. It's about working smarter together.
Exactly. It's about being open to change, challenging what you think you know, and always looking for ways to get better.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and inspiring.
I did.
And remember, you have the power to change how you work and achieve some really amazing things.
Absolutely.
Just like the team in this case study.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep pushing the limits of what's possible.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.